Good morning.
My name is Philip Brand, in case you don't know me. If you do know me, my name is still Philip Brand. So there's that. Happy Father's Day. If all the fathers would stand so we can recognize you this morning and give you a hand. All the fathers, all of you. Yep. Very thankful for fathers in this church and all that they do and how they lead their families and all of that. So very thankful this morning for that. Has everybody had a fairly decent week? Yeah. Fairly decent? How about really good? Anybody had a really good week? Really? Yeah. Really good week over here? Good. Bless. Good week over here? Yeah. Any other good weeks? We had three. Three people had a good week. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Other people too? Yeah. So something would be going on if you know. It wasn't more than that, you know, more than three, right? You're right, good, all right. I'm Philip, I'm your friend, I'm just asking you questions and getting personal, you know, with you, kind of intrusive in your life. Did your week go well? Can you tell the whole group if it did or not? Yeah. We are in a series called Beautiful, and this is the second one in the series. And last week, we talked about a couple of things that I just need to review, just in a kind of sentence fashion, or maybe more than one sentence. First, we talked about it matters what kind of wind you are pursuing. Now, if you missed that sermon, you just need to listen to it online or with our podcast or whatever, but it matters what type of wind that you're pursuing in this life. Another thing that we talked about is a lot of things down here doesn't add up. Just doesn't add up. Things happen, we're not sure why, and we can never figure out why it happened, and it just doesn't add up, and it just doesn't make much sense. But when we get to heaven, God, it makes sense to him, and all we'll have to do is ask, and he'll tell us the reason for the whys that we are asking down here now. So that was last week's sermon that we spoke about. And this week, we are going to talk about something kind of similar along those same lines, but a little different. So because we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, we are going to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Okay. Genesis chapter 4 is where we're going to start today. The scripture. Genesis chapter 4. Now, just a little background to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the world's created. Everything. The universe, people, animals, plants, sea creatures, all that's created. In chapter 3, there's the fall. Eve ate of the fruit, and then Adam ate of it after her. That's what happens, so there's a fall. And so that is the background to chapter 4. Another thing you may need to know is that when they fell, God made a prediction that through Eve, there would come a male child that would stamp on the head of the serpent. So Eve is looking forward to the day where she's going to have a child, and that child will actually defeat the one that defeated her. Okay? So that's how it's all set up. So chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help from the Lord." Now, that's what Cain means. I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. So she looks at Cain as the promised one, as the fulfillment of the prophecy that this is the man that is going to put an end to Satan and all his deception. She's looking at it that way. Now, if you had a kid, right, and there was a prophecy that through your seed, something great was going to happen, and you get your first child, that would be your favorite, wouldn't it? Baby. Yeah, you said baby, of course, that's a male answer right there. Yeah, definitely, maybe, depends, we'll just have to see, right? We're going to have to see how this plans out. But Eve really thought that this was it. And so Cain became her favorite child. And you need to understand this. That is why she says, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And just in case you missed it, just in case you missed her favoritism toward Cain, that he's the special child, that he's the one that God gave to me, that he's the one that's going to solve all the wrongs in the world, verse 2 comes into play. And again, she bore his brother, Abel. Abel has no definition to his name, none at all. And in Scripture, what we know is most of the time, people name their kids with the definition. This is what we want them to be. This is what they are. Abel, he's a second child. How many second children are in here? Yeah, you're not as special as the first one. Not as special as the first one. Yeah. And if you debate this, I just want you to ask yourself this question. How many pictures are there of the first child compared to the second child? And then if you're a third child here, how many pictures are there of the first two that aren't of you? I mean, that's just all you have to see. So Abel doesn't even get a definition to his name because Cain is obviously the favorite. He's the favorite child. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, because that's what they were supposed to do. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Now, Cain being the favorite child, and I'm reading into the text at this point, okay? I think that he was spoiled rotten. And this is the first time that he was not accepted. And so God, who he wants to be accepted by, doesn't accept his offering. Instead, Abel, who's a nobody, his name doesn't even have a definition. His mother still loves him. I'm not saying that, but name doesn't even have a definition. Abel, the lesser brother, gets accepted by God, and the one that felt like he should be accepted by God wasn't accepted by God. And here's why. Abel's sacrifice was not in line with what God wanted. It wasn't according to what he had laid out. And so Cain just thought, because he was the special one, any gift to God would do. Any way he wanted to do it would be special to God, because after all, I'm special. Come on. You know people like this. I am God's gift to society. You know people like this. Don't look at me like that. It's not a judgment. It's a reality. We know people like this that think that they're God's gift to creation, and they're not really, right? They're just not. And so here's Cain, and he offers this gift, and he thinks that God should just accept it, and God says, no. This is a different sort of tier here, and I'm not going to accept your gift. I accept Abel's gift. And so Cain pitches a He gets very upset in an adolescent sort of way. Why in the world I can say adolescent and all that, and I can't say whatever the tantrum is. Temper tantrum. Good night. Temper tantrum. He pitches a temper tantrum. Right. A temper tantrum, and because that's what spoiled brats do. Come on. I'm being absolutely real here, all right? So in verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought, blah, blah, blah. Verse 4, verse 5, but Cain and his offering had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. You ever seen those people? They're just sad because, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, this was Cain. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So God comes down in grace. He has a one-on-one conversation with Cain. I mean, wouldn't you like God to do that with you sometimes? Where you're about to err and God would just come down and talk to you and tell you, look, you need to stop doing this. I think that God does that more than you give him credit for. We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in order for God to speak to us and prevent us from doing the wrong thing. And the days that we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit and his guidance are the days that we're going to go in a different direction. But the days that we are in tune with God's Holy Spirit is the days that we follow him. So we get this too. And God says, hey, Cain, look, if you don't take care of your anger, if you don't take care of your attitude problem, if you don't take care of your pride, sin is crouching at the door. In other words, it's going to get worse. Have you ever warned somebody over and over again that what they're doing is wrong and it's going down the wrong path, and if they continue to go down the wrong path, destruction is ahead, but they don't believe you? And they don't believe you because everything's going great and everything's going fine and they're kind of getting through life and they don't feel the pain of their decisions that they're making, and they've been told over and over and over and over and over again. Have you ever told somebody in your family or a friend of yours, don't date that person anymore? Have you ever told that? And then they wind up getting married to them. And we all know that things become worse after marriage. Yes. The negatives that the person has just gets accelerated after marriage. And I mean, it's just horrible after marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I love to be married. I love marriage. So don't get me wrong on that. But we tell people sometimes you need to watch who you're dating. You need to watch who you're around. We tell our kids all the time and we tell people and our friends all the time, you're hanging around the wrong crowd. Because we know if you're hanging around the wrong crowd, you'll wind up doing what the wrong crowd is doing. And it goes down a path of destruction. Sin is always crouching at the door, especially when we do not listen to the Holy Spirit and his leading. God can save you from a lot of heartache in this life if you would just listen to him. But Cain, as we're going to see in a moment, did not listen to God. So this is what happens. Verse 8, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. By the way, Abel in Hebrew looks like this. It's actually Hebel is how you pronounce that, and you pronounce it this way. So Hebel is Abel in Scripture. And he spoke to his brother. Now, I looked up the word spoke and in Scripture, and it's just like a nice little conversation that Cain was having with his brother. He had evil intent on the inside of his heart, but he was speaking very nicely to his brother. And this is basically the sense of what was going on, okay? Hey, man, let's go out into the field and see what we can do to have a little fun. Just have a day away from work, you know? You want to go? Yeah. Abel's like, yeah, I'll go. Let's go, and we'll spend some time together, get bond as brothers, you know, have a great time in the field. I don't know what they would do in the field. I don't know what these people were doing for fun. Have no idea. Wasn't there. Some of you might have been. I wasn't. That was a joke. Yeah, don't know what they were doing for fun. So they went on into the field, and so Abel is going out into the field, and he's thinking, oh, everything's going to be great. Going to have a fun time with my brother. Maybe they're going to be fishing, maybe hunting, maybe doing something else that, you know, men like to do, you know. And he goes. So he speaks to his brother and says, yeah, let's go on a trip. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and killed him. He killed Abel. He got him into the field. And he killed Abel. Let's stop here a moment and just think about the impact of Abel being killed by his brother. First, I believe that this is the first death in creation. Human. This is the first death. They'd never experienced anything like this before. I also believe at some point, Adam and Eve found out about the death in the field. I believe, just because I know what Nicole and I would do as parents, immediately they went to the place where their son had passed away. That's not a far stretch, is it, guys? Yeah, not a far stretch. They went out there. And so Eve comes up to this scene, and she sees Abel. And in my mind, there's no scripture for this. This is just me just kind of imagining it. In my mind, she reaches down and lifts up his Bible and rocks him back and forth and says, "Abel, Abel, Abel." And it's just grief inside. She says it over and over again, "Abel, Abel." And she's in grief, like immense grief. I believe that grief for women is harder than grief for men. I think they're equally hard, but I think women have more of a like emotional attachment to things in life, emotional attachment, especially to their children. I'm not saying that Adam was not going through grief. I'm not saying that he wasn't sad that his son had died, had been killed. I'm not saying that, that Adam wasn't upset at Cain and then grieving the path that Cain had chosen. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the mom was just a little deeper in her grief because there's a bigger connection. Ladies, would you agree with that? Guys, would you agree with that? I mean, we see it, right? And so she's just grieving. She goes, "Oh, this is such a senseless death." And she valued Abel's life in that moment. "Oh, it's just senseless. This is just awful. I cannot believe this happened. How could this happen?" And she's grieving. She is saying, "Abel, Abel, 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 Abel." And in those words, they are just pregnant with meaning. And with that in mind, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities. All is vanity." And that word for vanity there is Habel. 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 Whereas he didn't have a definition when he was first born, he has a definition now. It is the exact same word. Abel's name is Habel here in vanity. And when you read this, you have to read it with that emotion. Vanity, senseless, utterly senseless is life. Vanity of vanities. I do not understand what's happening. This has not come together. I am in torment. Why is this happening? Vanity of vanities. This is utterly senseless. Why was this utterly senseless? It was a murder. I think the church, and I think the culture, and I think our nation needs to understand once again that murder is a senseless thing. It's senseless. It's horrible. It doesn't matter if the murder is in the womb or if it's someone that's out of the womb. It is all senseless. It's utterly senseless. And there's a grief that is happening here with King Solomon. He's saying, "This is utterly senseless. This is awful. This is awful. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity." If your translation has breath or vapor, that is incorrect. Whereas this word does, in some context, mean vapor and it does mean breath, here in this one, it does not mean that. It actually means senseless, futile, just this doesn't make sense. This is absolutely awful. So my question this morning is, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had stuff happen in your life that you're like, this is utterly senseless? This is futile. Why did this happen? You see, in this particular one, we know that Abel was accepted by the Lord. Abel led a faithful life to God, and God allowed him to be killed. Yes, God allowed Abel to be killed. So when she's holding him in his arms, she realizes this. You realize this. There are a lot of things that God allows to happen in this world that he could put a stop to. Right? There's a lot of stuff that can happen. So how do we live in a world where God allows bad things to happen because of sin? You know, he allows it to happen. How do we cope with that? And when those senseless, utterly senseless things happen, how do we cope with that? What do we do? And the answer is actually found back in Genesis chapter 4. So if you flip back over to that, Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, it tells us how Eve handled her situation. And this is what it says, verse 24. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. Isn't that interesting? Even though she felt like this was a senseless death and it was something that shouldn't have been done, and like it didn't make sense, especially because she knew God and she knew that God allowed it, she still kept her faith in God. How in the world did she do that? How in the world did she do that? How did she do that? What would you do? Have you ever said any of these phrases, like, nothing ever turns out the way that I wanted it to? Yeah? This is not the way I prayed for it. Have you ever had that one? I've had that one. I prayed for Nicole's need to be healed back in March, that it wouldn't be that serious. I know she was on stage today, but she's still a cripple. Right? Still up here crippling around, right? Tenacity. She has a lot of tenacity, a lot of go get 'em, but she's still, you know, still doing. And right now I'm praying that the meniscus actually healed. That's what I'm praying for. But my prayers did not turn out the way that I wanted them to. Have you ever had prayers not turn out the way that they wanted them, that you wanted them to? And in that moment, it doesn't make sense why they didn't turn out, because of course you know what's best for you and the people involved. Right? You know what's best for you and the people involved. So you're praying according to that. And God's up in heaven, and he is saying, I love you very much, but I've got to do what's best for the plan for the world. And sometimes the plan that he has is better, well, all the time, the plan that he has is better than the plans that we have. And so sometimes he doesn't do the things that we want him to do, but that doesn't mean that we give up on God. Children go astray, you don't give up on God. Things don't happen the way that you want them to happen, you don't give up on God. You get cancer, you don't give up on God. Hard times come your way, you do not give up on God. You hold on to him, and that's precisely what Eve has done. Eve says here, she bore a son and called his name Seth, for she said, God has appointed. In other words, she is saying God is still working in the world, even though bad things happen to good people. Good things are happening in the world. So here's a couple things she did. First, Eve kept her faith, though she didn't understand why her son was killed by her favorite son. She's grieving the loss of Abel because he's dead, and she's grieving the loss of Cain because he's not living right. Parents, we have grieved, right? When children don't live right. She has both at the same time. They're not living right, and this one is dead. But she kept her faith, though she didn't understand. She said, God is still at work, even in this. Second, Eve kept her faith, even though her first son walked away from God. And this is what she did. Eve blamed the one that was responsible. She says that Cain killed Abel. God appointed me a different child, but Cain is the one that brought this grief on me. Cain is the one that brought this hardship on me. Cain is the one that did wrong. And what she is saying in that moment is, Cain is the one that sinned, not God. And ladies and gentlemen, when we're going through things that we don't make sense, what we have to realize is the blame for what has gone wrong lies with mankind, not the God that created mankind. Is everybody with me? Yeah. So it's not God's fault, it's Cain's fault. And so faith is saying, Cain, my son, did something wrong. And it might hurt your mother's heart, it might hurt your father's heart to say that, but every now and then you have to say, my child did something wrong, and this is why we are dealing with this mess. This is not God's fault. Sin was crouching at the door, and they chose the wrong way. Third, Eve kept her faith in God, though something had happened to her that was utterly senseless. It is utterly senseless that the son that was faithful to God is the one that died. Utterly senseless. But she kept her faith. She said, God is still at work. This week, I finally got to my flower beds at my house. Yeah. I sprayed them one day, and then the next day I started pulling some weeds. I got some stuff planted I wanted to plant. There was other things that I did, and I got out, I think it was on Tuesday, could have been Wednesday. My life's a blur right now, because I'm doing, you ever have that happen? Like your life is just a blur, like you don't know what day you're in, but at least I know it's Sunday and I'm doing my job, right? So I'm going through and I'm ripping up these vines. You ever have those vines just totally wrap around your bushes around your house and you're kind of just pulling them out? So I'm pulling out these vines and I don't know what type of weed it is, but it's a weed that grows like really tall and they have leaves on them, like all weeds do. That describes everybody. That's like saying the person was white that came to Farmington. Nothing race, just you know me. Okay, anyway, so I was pulling these weeds up and doing all this stuff with these bushes and stuff, and I got over here to this one, and I'm pulling it out, right? And I get it pulled out, and then I go back around and start pulling some other weeds and start going from the bush in this direction. And this is what I found as I was doing it. It's a bald-faced hornet's nest that is not in the ground, but on top of the ground. That's where they have made their nest. Normally it's in a tree. Normally it's in a bush. Normally it's somewhere else, but this one is hidden in my tiger lilies, okay? And I was about to pull up a weed, one of the tall ones, that was right next to it. And if I had pulled up that weed in that moment, Philip would have looked like he gained a lot of weight while preaching this morning, right, with eyes and stuff. You may have assumed that Nicole finally got enough of him. You might have assumed that, and rightly so, but nonetheless, that's it. So I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I was very thankful that I saw it before I pulled up that weed. Very thankful. But the next day, I started thinking about the experience again. When I was on this side of that bush and pulling out those weeds, I saw those tiger lilies right there. And Philip said, I can just step right through and get to the front of it quicker. But Philip chickened out. Because Philip was like, I don't know what's in there. A snake might be in there. A spider might be in there. Something might be in there. And so wimpy Philip decided that he would go around the flower bed to the front side. And I felt very wimpy. You know what Philip's thankful for today? That he's a wimp. That's what he's thankful for. There's a benefit to being wimpy. Yeah, it is. And I didn't step into it because that space I would have stepped into the nest and it would have come all over me. So I started giving God praise for saving me in that moment. Because it was Him. It was Him. It was Him that prevented me from stepping into that space, and it was Him that prevented me from going to the other side. I bring that up for this reason. Whereas I'm very thankful that that happened, and that is a blessing, and it's absolutely incredible, it's still senseless that He would protect me in that way. It's still senseless. Do you realize that all the blessings that God gives to you really don't add up? It really doesn't make sense why He gives you the blessings that He gives you. Being here today, being able to breathe, is a blessing from God. Waking up is a blessing from God. Having my wife and my son at home, blessing from God. Driving here and making it here safe, blessing from God. Not getting stung by bees, blessing from God. It's blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And all of those blessings, if you think about it, are senseless because we do not deserve them. We don't deserve a one of them. We don't deserve to be feeling good today. We don't deserve that, but God lets us feel good. We don't deserve to have moments of joy, but God gives us that. We don't deserve to have close friends, but God gives us that. And what I think is interesting about this particular concept in my mind is we never give up on God when He's blessing us. We always want to give up on Him when something goes wrong. And we say that the thing that goes wrong doesn't make any sense. We say that that's utterly senseless. But we never go the other way and say, God bless me, and this doesn't make sense either. We serve a God who doesn't make sense to the human brain, and I'm thankful for that because He should be bigger than you, and He should know what to do and what not to do better than you know. So I am thankful for His blessings. I'm thankful that it doesn't make sense when He protects me, and I'm thankful when it doesn't make sense when something doesn't go wrong and my prayers are not answered. I am just thankful to be His child because we live in a world that is utterly senseless, but God still blesses you and me. Amen? He's still with us. So when we think in terms, which is the verse the series is based on, that God makes things beautiful in his time, He's already started with you and me. He's already started with you and me. And everything is made beautiful. The bad is made beautiful, and the beautiful is made more gorgeous. That is an amazing, amazing thought. God appointed. What she is saying is, God's got this. God's got me. God's got my family. And I'm just going to trust in Him. Whereas I have hardship, I also have this blessing. And I'm going to hold on to both. I'm going to say something, but I don't want you to take it the way that normal people take it. Okay? Don't read into this statement. Just read enough into it. Is everybody good with this? Just read into what I'm about to say. It's not that big of a deal. It's going to sound like I'm making it a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal. Here's the deal. Okay? Eve got through her grief without a counselor or medication. There was none of that at all. We have counselors. We have tools. that God has provided for us, right? If Eve can make it through her horrific moment, you are better set up to make it through yours. You get it? You're better set up. You have a bigger support group. There might have been 20 people in the world at the time. You have a bigger support group. But more importantly than that, you have the same God that empowered her living inside of you to make it through your moment. And that is a blessing that doesn't make sense, but I'm thankful for. Amen.